الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألف لام ميم، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام، كل أمة دخل الجنة إلا أبا. قيل يا رسول الله من أبا؟ قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام، من أطاني فقد دخل الجنة ومن أصاني فقد أبا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء اکرام، my brothers in Islam، Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslims and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the last kitab to follow, made us ummati of the last Nabi and Rasul of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an easy, natural, perfect deen to follow. Respected elders and brothers, you know the method that I utilize or use in bayans is first I talk, and you also know that when I sit that you would listen for 1 hour, and after that you can talk, and inshallah if I know the answers then I will respond. Many of you may have come, perhaps the Mufti is going to talk on a certain aspect or a certain line, or he is going to explain something, and when you hear in which direction I'm going to move this lecture, perhaps you'll feel that no, what I came for he did not speak about, and what I want to understand he did not speak about, and what I want clarification about he did not speak about. Respected elders, globally you know what is happening, and you know more hourly what is happening and who to identify with, who to regard as mujahideen, which group to join, who must we say is on the right. Every person on the surface of the earth feels that he is gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every individual feels he's got a road or he's got a pattern whereby he can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight's discussion, I'm moving to discuss about the ideological differences we have with various groups and factions. First, non-Muslims, then those who claim to be Muslims, and those who are claiming to be super Muslims, eventually giving you some positive direction who we should align ourselves with. In this age and time, you and I must realize which group is on the right, who you should follow, who I should follow, who I should support, who I should link myself with, and what is the truth of the matter. respected elders, starting from the Jews and the Christians and the Hindus. Remember that the Jews and the Christians and the Hindus, these are all mushriks. They ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Jews also ascribe partners by the way of saying Uzair is the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Christians ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying that Isa alayhi salam is son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Hindus have got so many gods as totaling the number of stars. Highlighting our difficulties of where they differ or where they went astray. First of all, in their adhyan, in their deens and in their religion, they had pious people, they had righteous people, and anbiya, they may have prophets. When their prophets performed any supernatural action, which we term as mu'jiza. Mu'jiza is a supernatural action attributed to a Nabi or a Rasul of Allah. Something that is kharke adat, like the fire burns, but the fire did not burn for Ibrahim alayhi salam. That the stick turned into a serpent for Musa alayhi salam. So this kharke adat, this miracle when attributed to a Nabi or Rasul, we call it a mu'jiza. When attributed to a wali, a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we say that's a karamat. And when attributed to a ordinary Muslim, we call that supernatural action a ma'unat. And when a supernatural action takes place at the hands of a kafir or mushrik, then we call that istikhraj. Now in Islam, when a supernatural action takes place at the hands of a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we regard that supernatural action as proof of nabuwat, as proof of risalat, not as proof of divinity, not as proof of godhood. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at his hands made him perform many mu'ajiza. But we as Muslims view this, that these are signs of nabuwat, these are signs of risalat, not that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ma'azallah, he is Allah. No. As far as karamat is concerned, saints, at sometimes they perform some miracles. In order for a saint to be classified a saint, he need not perform a miracle. A saint can live his entire life without performing a miracle and be classified as a saint because of his righteousness and piety. Unfortunately, what has happened today, that every person is saint. Every person is halfway there already and thinking that his sainthood fell on him. And unfortunately, saint hero worship is becoming a cult and order of the day that we have to be very careful about. Respected elders, second point where these people went astray, these Jews, Hindus and Christians, that when they had the originals with them, then their disciples, they saw that you were doing these actions of righteousness and approached the priest that these scriptures tell us that the pious way like this and the righteous way like this. Where are you? What are you doing? So eventually what they had to do was to take out those good portions of piety and righteousness from the scriptures. When the disciples of those religions told them, see, the pious way like this and the righteous way like this, you are not like this. So to avoid a confrontation, they remove these things from their divine texts. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the help of Mujahideen like the Taliban today, we are proudly can say that what is written in our books, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended upon the Sahaba in Badr, upon the Sahaba in Uhud, upon the Sahaba in Hunayn. Today in Afghanistan we can see clearly that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending with them. And today we can see very easily that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we please Allah, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. The Allah that helped in Badr, the Allah is still present. The Allah that helped in Hunayn, the Allah is still present. The Allah that helped in Uhud, the Allah is still present. Provided that we have Iman. Provided our Iman is strong. Provided our Iman is of that caliber to invoke the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for us. Respected elders, as far as Shariat is concerned, concerning the Jews and the Christians and the Hindus, we can transact with them, we can deal with them, but we should not take them as our confidants. The error some Muslim leaders of our world are doing today is that we have taken these Jews and these Christians and these Hindus as our confidants. And this is what Islam and in the light of Shariat does not want us to do. Respected elders, when we now come to the kafir. Kafir in Islam is one who denies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. And the one who denies the boons and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In technical language, if you pick up an Arabic dictionary, and if you look for what do you call a farmer in Arabic, then you will come to the word kafir. In Arabic we call a farmer kafir. And the reason why we call him this is because the farmer, he takes a seed, and he takes the seed and he plants it under the soil. He hides the seed from the light of the rays of the sun. He conceals the seed. The kafir conceals the truth. He hides the truth. And he runs away from the hidayat of the Tawheed. He runs away from Tawheed. That is why we call him a kafir. He denies the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the boons and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, respected elders, we come to those people who say, no, we are Muslims. Taking first the Qadianis. The Qadianis are split into two groups. One is Qadianis as aligned themselves, saying that Mirza Ghulam Ahmad is a prophet of Allah. And there is one called the Lahori Qadianis. The Lahori Qadianis, they have got a famous scholar, Muhammad Ali, who wrote one book, The Religion of Men, which was used in your local university as a reader at one stage. Respected elders, we have got highlighting three problems. One is, they stated that this person, Mirza, is a prophet of Allah. And we know that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the last Nabi. He's the last Rasul. They stated, no, Isa Alayhi Salaam is coming. Then we say that Hazrat Isa Alayhi Salaam, when he comes, he will come as a ummati of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not as a new prophet. Respected elders, you must follow me and understand. Follow me and understand me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect my iman and your iman at the end of this. But you know exactly what to do. Because the Western media is now going to utilize everything to disunite us. And if we do not understand which platform to stand on united, they are going to cause havoc amongst us. Respected elders, Isa alayhi salam, when he comes, he will come as a ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they say, no, because the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat stated that wahi has terminated, then when Isa alayhi salam comes, he'll be a Nabi of Allah, a Rasul of Allah, he'll get wahi. Then wahi has not terminated. So the common Muslim now is worried. what to do. Now understand that there are various levels and types of wahi. One is wahi and matlu, and one is ghair matlu, and one is wahi and tashri. Wahi and matlu is often recited wahi, that is Quran al Kareem. Another name for that is wahi al jali. And wahi ghair matlu is the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, non-often recited wahi, or wahi khafi. But the wahi that differentiates a Nabi from a non-Nabi, from a Rasul from a non-Rasul, is wahi tashrihi. That is canon law wahi. Wahi, divine revelation, protected revelation, which formulates the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Isa alayhi salam will get wahi, he will not get wahi that alters the shariat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam. He will get wahi, but he will not get a new shariat. He will get wahi saying him what, inspiring him what to do, but he will not get wahi to abrogate or change the deen of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam, because that is complete. Thirdly, concerning these Qadianis, because they were British-backed, and they wrote books upon books concerning one important aspect, and he wrote this, and he tried to indoctrinate the Muslims, that jihad has been abrogated. Understand where they are coming from, these British and these Americans, who are not our well-wishers. They propped this fellow up, and they made him say that jihad is abrogated, meaning fighting for ilahi kalimatullah, to uplift the deen of Allah, to uplift the kalima of Allah, to protect the iman of Muslims, to protect the life of the entire mankind. They say that is abrogated, that is no more. And remember clearly, respected elders, whether we accept it or whether we do not accept it, that jihad, according to Imam Muhammad, student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he writes in Mabsood clearly that jihad is farz upon every Muslim. Jihad is farz upon every Muslim, and the person who denies the obligatory nature of jihad is out of the fold of Islam. And the person who deliberates whether jihad is farz or not is misled. And today we have taken this concept of jihad very lightly. Why? Because we are living a life of complacency, of ease and comfort, aish and aram. Everything is found for us. We do not even know what goes on in the life of a mujahideen for even 1 hour. But remember that jihad is obligatory, it is farz, it is necessary. Sooner or later, someone has to do it, and we have to know when the call comes for us to do it, and we have to take question whether we are ready. And they had this Qadiani fellow going around and saying, no, jihad is abrogated, no more. Why? So that the Muslims must not fight against the British, the Muslims must not fight against Batil, that the Muslims must remain passive. There is no concept in Islam that a person smacks you on the right cheek, that you offer him the left cheek. The concept in Islam is that if he hits you on the right cheek, you stamp him. And you be violent with him if he tramps your rights and takes your rights. Respected elders, the second Lahori group, their problem is, now understand, that a person who is a kafir cannot be a reformer in Islam. A person who is out of the fold of Islam, he cannot be a reformer in Islam, because he is not even a Muslim. How can a non-Muslim be a reformer in Islam? The Lahori Qadiani group came up with the concept that no, he's not a prophet, he's a reformer. When all the ulama of the world said that this person is an imposture, he's a liar, he's a deceiver, he's a fraud, and he is the one claiming Nabuwat, and Nabuwat has terminated with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore he's a liar and out of the fold of Islam, how can he even be a reformer? It is like saying that some kafir is a reformer in Islam, is telling us what to do. So the Jews and the Christians and the Hindus, they cannot be our friends. Neither the Qadianis, we remove them from the scene. Now we have got those who pose, even the Qadianis, externally they pose like Muslims. And they perform like Muslims. But because of their belief, they do not form part of the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat, let alone that they are not even in the fold of Islam. And unity in Islam is based upon aqaid, upon beliefs, not upon only temporary a'mal. The unity in Islam is based upon belief, ideology, philosophy, those things, not upon only action. A person, he can eat halal meat, face the Qibla, make salat, read the Quran al-Kareem, wear a hat, adorn a turban, put on a kurta, have a flowing beard, but be completely out of the fold of Islam because of his belief. Now we come to the Shias. Externally they look Muslim. And respected elders, we have got few questions for them. Not getting into any academic heavy discussion, but to leave you with something that whenever you confront them, you can talk to them also. One is that their kalima, our kalima is very simple, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Having this, they have got a kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Ali Wasiullah, Ali Waliullah, Ali Khalifatullah, Ali Khalifatullah bila fasl. All these additions that they have come across, all these additions that they have put, all these additions which they have fabricated, all these additions which they are propagating viciously, our question and your question to them will be very simple. Show us in the Quran where this kalima is. Your additional kalima, because you accept the Quran, you say, we accept the Quran. Show us in the Quran where is this kalima. And you accept, because the Shias do not want to accept Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, but they accept Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his statements and his words. So we say that show us one time or one place or one statement of Hazrat Ali that he said read this extra kalima. Show us from your own books that Hazrat Ali said, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, read this kalima that you have fabricated. Because you do not want to accept our statement and our proof and our deductions from our side. So you show us your kalima from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then they have got a concept of imams. So we say that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after him Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after him Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after him Hazrat Zainul Abidin Ramatullah Alayhi, after him Imam Jafar Sadiq Ramatullah Alayhi, after him Musa Ali and Nafi Ali and Asghari, from all or any one of them, 12 Imams, any one of them who said, read this new kalima. It is their kalima. They must prove it. The onus is upon them. They are saying it. We can show you from Quran al-Kareem that our kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, is in the Quran al-Kareem. So one basic thing, basic different, kalima is different. Respected elders, then we come to the Quran al-Kareem. The Quran al-Kareem, again avoiding the academic discussion, we ask them, that where in Iran, because at the moment that is their headquarters and they propagate what we call Isna Sharia, Shiaism, where in the entire Iran they have got a Hifz Madrasa? In the entire Iran, where is the Hifz Madrasa? If you love the Quran, if you believe in the Quran, then you should produce some Hafizes. So in the entire Iran, where is your Hifz Madrasa? How many Hafizes have you produced? When is the Hifz Jalsa that we can attend? to read the Quran, the Hindu gurus were reading Quran. Up to today, they read Quran, and they read sometimes better Quran than us. To read the Quran, to recite the Quran, to articulate the Quran with tajweed is no proof that a person is Muslim. Understand this very clearly. Get one Iranian Qari reading beautiful Quran, and unfortunately, all of you will go there. And when the ulama tell you, do not go there, that these people are reading the Quran, they are not Muslim, it does not make sense. Where is their Hifz Madrasa? And in the month of Ramadan, you and I are blessed that we come and read Taraweeh Salah, 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah. In the whole of Iran, where are they performing Taraweeh Salah? Where is the Shia Hafiz making Taraweeh Salah? If you have got love for the Quran, if you've got attachment for the Quran, if you respect the Quran, if you believe in the Quran, you'll make the Hafiz. If you do not believe in the Quran, how are you going to produce the Hafiz? So second basic difference. One is the Kalima, second is the Quran al-Karim. Thirdly, respected elders, wherever they worship the Shias, they never ever call it Masjid. They call their places of worship Makan or Imam Bara. They never ever call it Masjid. And in the Quran it is replete, and there are numerous ahadith where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying about Man Bana Masjid, whosoever builds a Masjid. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking of Masjid. Allah Ta'ala is talking of Masjid. And these people are talking of places of worship, not Masjid, Makan or Imam Bara. So the Kalima is different. They're not interested in the Quran. They say that their place of worship also is different. Fourthly, respected elders, and this Makan also, we would like them to show from the Quran and the sayings of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and their imams that said build Imam Bara or build Makan, not Masjid. Azan, respected elders, when they give Azan, they add these words, Ali, Waliullah, Wasiullah. One simple brother one day, whilst we were performing Hajj, he said, but these Shias or these Iranians, what is the difference? So I said, carry on performing Hajj with us, you'll see. When in Arafat, he comes running to me, he says, Ufti, these people got different Azan too. I said, listen to it. Openly in Arafat, they call the Azan, which is fabricated, which is wrong. We are saying that Azan that you are calling, prove it from your own textbooks, that Azan that you are calling is valid, is authentic, is reliable. Say, Hazrat Ali said you must call that Azan. Prove it, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, call that Azan. Prove it that all the 12 Imams said, call that Azan. Imam Zainul Abidin, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Zainul Abidin rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Jafir Sadiq rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Musa Askari, Hazrat Ali Dakhi, all of them, which one of them said that make this Azan in this particular fashion and method? Another point, come Muharram, they have what we call Matam, mourning, and they beat their chest up, Hassan Hussein, Hassan Hussein, and they draw blood from each other, cutting themselves with razors, knives, etc. Yeah, if you are in those countries, the Shia orator or the Shia speaker is called a Zakir. And when he leads this Matam proceedings and march, then look at him carefully. He'll only touch himself. He'll touch himself. Meanwhile, his whole congregation is bleeding. You understand? He only touched himself, Hassan Hussein, and his congregation is bleeding. We are saying, proof from the Quran, that you must bleed, you must cut yourself, and you must harm yourself, you must injure yourself, and you must weep, you must cry. We are saying, say
Only one statement of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he said, make matam. Shuas, only one statement of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Shuas, one statement from any of your imams, that make matam, make it like this, beat yourself, kill yourself, injure yourself, harm yourself, put yourself in difficulties and undue duress. So respected elders, Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayh, once Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came in his dream, he asked Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, concerning the Shias, what I must look at? Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that look at their concept of imamology, imamut. And now that is a lengthy discussion. What is their concept of imamology? Basically, the imam can make halal, haram, haram, halal. The imam, he can abrogate the deed. The imam, he comes with the new sharia. The imam gets wahi. The imam abrogates what is before him. The imam, he gets wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The imam, according to them, knows the unseen. The imam, he's got tremendous knowledge. And when you come to him, he knows which route you came from, what you ate for supper and for dinner. And the imam knows when he's going to die, how he's going to die. Withstanding all that, they all said all the imams got poisoned. Respected elders, then they say the imam, he is not born naturally, but he's born from the thigh of his mother. So funny, strange beliefs they have got. So these people, respected elders, are not in the fold of Islam. And do not be afraid to say it. I'm saying it nicely, clearly, openly. Have some courage. Let some blood flow in your heart and your head. Do not be afraid, respected elders. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, someone asked him, are the Shias Muslims? They asked him, are the Shias Muslims? He stated, when they entered Islam. When they entered Islam to be taken out of the fold of Islam. So first of all, they're not even classified Muslims. And these days what has happened, that because they now and then create some mujahideen activity, so we get confused. Now the true colors are coming out, who they're siding when they have come to the crossroads. Now the true colors are coming out. They are very pleased with their masters, USA, etc. And remember, respected elders, that the USA is not our friend. And the United Nations is another name for the USA. And the relationship between the USA and the UN has given birth to an illegitimate child called Israel, which hasn't learned to walk yet. So the Jews, the Christians and the Hindus, we know their position. The Kafir, we know his position. The Qadianis, we know their position. The Shias, we know their position. Now we have got two more groups to discuss before you can talk. One is the Ahle Quran. Understand their standpoint. And they are spreading, unfortunately, in our country. What happens in our country is that we do not academically gear up ourselves. And we do not learn about our deen. And when the fitna of a new ideology comes, then you are to run and find out what is happening. Meanwhile, we should be studying, we should be educated, and we should be aware that these things exist. Ahle Quran say that the Quran is sufficient for us. The Quran is adequate for us. We do not require anything else. The Quran is the divine kitab, and that is sufficient for us. We do not require anyone else. That is their basic bottom line, punchline. And they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and save us, that they say Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like a postman. That he came with the Quran, he gave it, he delivered it, now he's gone. Like how the postman comes and delivers your letter. Once he delivers your letter, his responsibility is finished. His duty is finished. Now he can go away. These foolish people say that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam is like a postman. He came, he left the Quran, and he's gone. And they say everything can be received from the Quran, deduced from the Quran, ascertained from the Quran, obtained from the Quran. We do not require any other source of argumentation. We do not require any source of deduction or substantiation besides the Quran al-Karim. Our reply is very simple. Once we went to one country, and in that country, in a certain area, there was a person who began to spread this ideology. And rather said that Muslim, because he does not know his own belief, he has not understood his own belief, he has not understood that he is from the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat, and what is the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat, what are their beliefs, that is why any ideology you sell to him, he buys it. So he was causing some difficulty. So we sent a message to him that we want to talk to him. We want to discuss with him. At first he said, no, he does not want to discuss. Then he said, no, I am prepared to take on any alim. And I am prepared to take on any morana or mufti. I am prepared to have a debate with them. Anytime, any place. So we said, that's interesting, we are coming. We made an appointment, we had a meal, and then we made salat. And that person also made salat. Made wuzu with us, made salat with us. Then when the discussion opened, we asked him, that listen, you made wuzu. And you made wuzu near us, in front of us. We saw you how you made wuzu. Can you show us this wuzu in the Quran al-Karim? The details of this wuzu that you made in front of us, can you show us in the Quran al-Karim? The sequence that you followed, can you show us in the Quran al-Karim? The method that you did the wuzu, can you show us in the Quran al-Karim? The minute details of this wuzu that you did to make the salah, can you show us in the Quran al-Karim? You made salat with us. Can you tell us why you did the salat? Why that number of rakats? Why 4 rakats for Isha, 2 sunnah, 3 witr? Show us in the Quran. Show us in the Quran that why do you make 2 for Fajr? Why you make 4 for Zuhur, 4 for Asr, 3 for Maghrib, 4 for Isha? Show us this 4, 3, 2 in the Quran. You stood up and then you went for ruku and then you went for sijda. Show us in the Quran al-Kareem that this is the sequence. Why you never dive into sijda first and then go into ruku and then stand up? You give zakat, you say you give zakat. Who told you to give 2.5%? Where is it? Tell us the details about the zakat. The minute details, 1,000 laws over there on zakat alone. Tell us about these details, how they are in the Quran, where they are in the Quran, which ayats have got this. When you go for Hajj, you go from Makkah to Mina, Mina to Arafat, Arafat to Muzdalifah, Muzdalifah to Mina to tell the big shaitan and then go back for Tawaf Ziyara. Show us in the Quran. Then you tell the shaitan the next day, the small one, the middle one, the big one, show us the sequence. You tell to 7 stones, show us in the Quran. You make tawaf, show us in the Quran al-Karim. How you make tawaf? Clockwise, anti-clockwise, show us in the Quran al-Karim. So respected elders, and they originated in Lahore from the Parvez group, and their first magazine was a magazine called Tulu' Islam, Rise of Islam. So we asked them, what you think Islam is sleeping, that you want it to rise. These people, respected elders, who say that Quran is sufficient and Quran alone is sufficient and we do not require Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah or ahadith, they are out of the fold of Islam. Because, respected elders, they are showing disrespect to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are dishonoring Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The purpose of his coming, the purport of his coming, the reason for his coming, and there is a discussion Sometimes we'll make it for you. One is the Kitabullah, the book of Allah, and one is the Rijal of Allah, the men of Allah. And the Kitabullah will come with the Rijalullah, and the Rijalullah, the men of Allah, will come with the Kitabullah to explain the Kitab of Allah, to elucidate the Kitab of Allah, to show the practicality of the Kitabullah. Now, respected elders, the Jews, Christians, Hindus, Kafirs have been taken care of. But to simplify that discussion and to bring it to your notice, there is an international work now, an international movement to degrade the Imams of Fiqh, of jurisprudence, to degrade the scholars of Fiqh, and to tell the public Quran and Hadith is sufficient. Quran and Hadith is sufficient. You do not require the Imams of Fiqh. You should leave Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. You should leave Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. You should leave Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. You should leave Imam Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. You do not have to follow them. You do not have to listen to their interpretations. You just have to be direct. Quran, Hadith. You have to be direct. They say, no, you have got ability, you have got capability. You can read the Quran, you can understand the Hadith. You carry on, you interpret it, and you make your own deen. And this fitna, this trial and tribulation, has reached such levels that unfortunately, in the haram, some of the speakers in the haram openly criticize Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Of late now, because the ulama at Deoband have taken a proper, solid stand and have written to them, they have now put a ban and said no one can say any word against Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Why? Because the ulama at Deoband took a strong stand and told them that they should abstain from this. But now to explain in simple language, again not academic language, that in Islam, the sources of derivation, the sources of deduction, or the sources of argumentation, or the sources to prove a point in Islam are four. One is Quran, second is Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, third is the Ijma, consensus of opinion of the Sahaba and subsequent scholars. There's a detailed discussion about that, and he asks, Shari deduction by analogy on the principles elucidated in the Quran and Sunnah. Point I want to explain to you is the Sunnah contains the Hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not contain the entire Sunnah. Those who say no, Quran Hadith, what they tell you, no, you must just follow Quran Hadith, you are successful. We say to that person that show us in the Quran and Hadith, we make Zuhr Salat silently. We make Asr Salat loudly. Loudly you do it. Softly. You do it softly also. Why you do it softly? You make Zuhr Salat softly. Make Asr Salat softly. Where in the Hadith he told you to do that? Which Hadith tells you, ask this person who says Quran Hadith, which Hadith, must bring it for you, which Hadith tells you, you must make Zuhur softly, Asr softly, Maghrib loudly, Isha loudly, Fajr loudly. Which Hadith? So he must bring you how many Hadiths? Five, isn't it? Five Hadiths. One to prove that Zuhur you make softly, Asr you make softly, Maghrib you made loudly, Isha you made loudly, and Fajr you made loudly. We'll bring you one Hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made Asr loudly. You understand what I'm saying? That the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which has reached us via transmission, authentic, reliable transmission, states that we have to make the Zuhur silently, Asr silently, and the remaining three Salat audibly. Then you ask him that when you came for Isha Salat, you made an intention. Ya Allah, I'm going to make 4 rakats of Isha Salat. That's what you did, isn't it? Tell him, show you one hadith. One hadith. Where it is stated you must make this niyat. The niyat of your Farz Salat, the niyat of your Witr Salat, the niyat of your Nafil Salat. Bring one authentic, reliable hadith for them. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? Then you tell him, bring one hadith. One hadith. That you must read your tasbihat in your ruku and your sajda, you must read it softly. The imam must read it softly and the muqtadis must read it softly. Bring hadith for us. Bring hadith for us that the imam must read and the muqtadi must remain silent. Or the imam must read aloud and all the muqtadis also must read aloud. We say the imam must read and everybody must remain behind him silently. Respected elders, so these people are causing dissension, division, differences in the Muslim Ummah and making us fight amongst ourselves. Now the answer is that why 4 imams? Why not 5 imams? Why not 6? That's one question. Secondly, that why don't we just combine these 4 imams? Understand? Because everybody is right. Our answer is very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us that we have got 4. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this number 4. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this number 4, and when He has restricted that we follow these 4, then we accept it. There are 4 seasons. There are 4 chemical compositions in the body. There are 4 major angels. There are 4 great anbiya alayhi salam. There are 4 directions, there are 4 seasons, and there are 4 major kitabs, there are 4 major angels, there are 4 imams, there are 4 ways of tasawuf which we generally follow. There are 4 directions. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this figure and He has approved of it, we got no say in it. Now when Allah has given us 4 roads, in one bayan I said that Allah has given us 4 roads to climb the mountain and reach the peak. 4 roads. So now if a person, what is logical? A person must see, when he starts one road, must he now decide while he's climbing, no, I'll take the other road. If he decides to do, keep changing the roads while climbing the mountain to the peak, then he'll never reach the peak. But if he decides to go on to this road, to the peak of the mountain, then inshallah he'll reach the peak of the mountain sooner or later. Slowly, but he'll get there. But he'll get there. That is one. Secondly, if your beloved one, someone whom you love, someone whom you cherish and love, someone whom you like, your mother, your father, your baby, your child, someone whom you have got good love for, and you, that person falls sick. And if you take that beloved one to doctors, and you take them to 4 doctors, and 4 doctors say 4 different things, what will you do? What will you do, respected elders? Rationally, logically, you will say that I cannot take these 4, the treatment of these 4, I'll have to take the treatment of 1. Because if I have to take the treatment of the 4, then that will be disastrous. And that will be detrimental, and that will ruin the health of the ailing sick one. That is logical, respected elders. So here when we have got Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, then we take one road, we adhere to it, we stick to it, and we carry on with that road, that takes us to the success. Now, understand it in a different way. Now you will understand with this example. If you go to 4 doctors, and these 4 doctors give 4 different types of medicine, what do you do? Take all 4 medicines. Do you take all the 4 medicines, or do you take 1 medication? Respected elders, you've got 2 options. One is that you say, no, I'll place my confidence in this doctor and take his medicine. The other one is that I'll say no, which is detrimental, that because they say what the doctors say, you must take the medicine 6 hourly. So first 6 hours one doctor's medicine, next 6 hours next doctor's medicine, third 6 hours next doctor's medicine, fourth 6 hours the patient is dead by then. What do you think? Live? We are saying the same thing, that one doctor, one specialist, one expert in jurisprudence, we place our confidence in. Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi, Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi, we place our confidence in that, and we say, I'm accepting his rule, his understanding. And understand, the imams of jurisprudence do not make the law. They expand the law. They explain the law. They elucidate the law. They do not fabricate the law. They do not concoct the law. What is hidden, the jewels and the pearls which are hidden in the ocean, they bring it up to the public to see. They do not make the jewels and the pearls. They just bring it up for us to see. The propaganda against the imams is, they are making the law. They are fabricating the law. They are deducing the law by sheer intelligence. No. The law is there. You and I do not have the capacity and ability to see that law. They have got the insight, wisdom, piety, taqwa to see it, and they have brought it for us to see. We see it. They are not making it. They are explaining it to us. So, respected elders, now we have got the Jews, Christians, Hindus out, and the Kafirs. Got the Qadianis out, the Shias out, the Ahl-Quran out, and the Ahl-Hadith, they are not part of the Ahl-Sunnat wal-Jamaat. Understand that very clearly. Now there is two discussions left. Allah Ta'ala grant us life. When I come back sometime, I'll explain it. The discussion is that we are saying you must follow the Ahl-Sunnat wal-Jamaat. But in order to explain to you who the Ahl-Sunnat wal-Jamaat is, there's one other group I have to talk to you about. It will take another half an hour, but I'm not going to talk now. That group is the Ahl-Bidat, the innovators. The Bidat is, and how to recognize the innovation, and what is Bidat, how Bidat comes into action, who is a Bidati, what is the law of the Bidati, how he concocts the Bidat, and you'll be surprised, many of us are Bidatis. When we define that, and when we explain that, and when we tell you what is this about, how Bidat is, and the definition, and the meaning, and the explanation of it, then we can explain to you who is the Ahl-Sunnat wal-Jamaat. That requires half an hour or two to explain to you the term Ahl-Sunnat wal-Jamaat. But the direction is very clear. We are not Jews, alhamdulillah. We are not Christians, alhamdulillah. We are not idol worshippers. We are not mushriks, alhamdulillah. We are not kafirs. We are not Qadianis, we are not Shias, we are not Ahl-Quran, we are not Ahl-Hadith. We belong to the Ahl-Sunnat wal-Jamaat. So the Mujahideen which affiliate to the Ahl-Sunnat wal-Jamaat, that is the group that we should affiliate ourselves with. We should sympathize with that group. Be with that group. Make dua for that group. Because alhamdulillah, we can proudly say that the Taliban at the moment are from the Ahl-Sunnat wal-Jamaat, and the Western world wants to destroy them because they are that sole country at the moment in the entire world that is implementing Sharia, that is bringing the Sharia of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the land and is practicing upon the Sharia of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why the US wants to manipulate support somehow or the other and try to destroy those Afghanis, those Taliban. And minimum we can do is to make dua for them. And if it is possible, contribute to them. If it is more possible, to go and join them and to fight against these oppressive people who are trying to rule this world by force and bullying tactics and by using oppressive and tyrannical methods upon us and manipulating those leaders whom they have got in their hands. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. I promise I'll talk to you for 1 hour. My time is over. You can ask whatever you want to know. Question is that he's quoting a hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. those of you who want to read more about that hadith, we have written a few books of it. One is the role of Imam Mahdi, the other is authentic hadith concerning Mahdi. And the hadith speaks of there'll be a war. And at that time, the Christians and the Muslims will be fighting together, and they'll be victorious. Then the Christians will say that they have won because of their belief and their belief in Christ. And the Muslims will say, no, we won because of Allah. He's asking whether that is the time. No, that is not the time. This is not that time yet. This, at this moment in history, it is not that time yet. That still has to come. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated on his farewell pilgrimage that hold fast to two things. One is the Quran and the second is Sunnah. Now the Shias make a very big noise about this. They say the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, that means you and I, we are deceiving and we are fabricating. They say Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hold on to the Quran and my family. Whereas we are saying, no, he said Quran and Sunnah. Yes, in some other hadiths he did say, hold to my family also, respect them. The reference is in Mustadrak ibn Hakim. And to explain to you that Quran, Sunnah, and Ijma and Qiyas is source of derivation, I require half an hour to explain to you that Ijma is part of derivation of law in Islam, and Shari deduction is part of derivation of law in Islam. I require time. Briefly, I'll tell you. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Maaz ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala to Yaman, and he was leading him, and he told him, Ya Maaz, how will you judge? Maaz said, I'll judge by the Quran, the book of Allah, Kitab Allah. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, oh Maaz, if it's not in the book of Allah, Hazrat Maaz said, with your sunnah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Maaz, if it's not in the book of Allah and not in my sunnah, then what? That answers your question now, what's coming. He said that I will exercise my right. Ijtihad, I'll make ijtihad. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his head and he tapped Maaz on the chest and made dua, Ya Allah, all praise due to you who has granted me such companions. So he approved of it. And if you read my book, Why Follow One Imam of Fiqh, I've explained this masala there. About these other two. Anything else? When this word war has already been declared a jihad in those areas, when it will become jihad upon us? I appreciate the question, but are you ready for the answer? When the people decide to attack us, and when they try to attack Islam, when they try to attack Iman, and when they decide to attack our property and our lives, then to defend our Iman and our property and our lives, then jihad will become farz upon us. Then jihad will become farz upon us. Gee, the brother. As I stated, in certain places I stated here too, that first of all, we should not make dua that there be war, because loss of life is loss of life. At the moment, the US is trying to use Pakistan and squeezing Pakistan's daylights so that they utilize Pakistan to attack the Afghanis. But what is going to happen, unfortunately, that thousands of Pakistani lives will get lost. Why? Because the Muslim will have to be defending and there will be utter chaos. Who to side with? Who to fight with? Who is your friend? Who is your enemy? But that is why the US have decided not to go into Afghanistan by ground troops. Because, alhamdulillah, we can be proud that we do not have so strong Iman. But those Taliban have got very strong Iman. We should minimum make dua that, Ya Allah, grant them better Iman. Because at the moment, the unseen help is with them. And they love death. And these Americans fear death. That is the basic difference, which will make the difference on the floor. And whether they come by air or ground, when the help of Allah is there, then we'll get victory. And remember clearly, the help of Allah comes
upon the practice upon the commandments of Allah. We, if we are clean shaven, not making salat, not giving zakat, not going for hajj, not striving in the path of Allah, no help of Allah comes. Let's be clear about it. But if we are making salat, keeping beards, imitating Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adopting the sunnah, respecting our elders, desirous of jihad, the help of Allah will come. And America at the moment is looking for a sponsor. The Americans are cowards. Don't be afraid to say that. Don't worry about that. That which is written is written. You believe in that? You don't believe. Say you believe in it. We believe in this. The Americans, every war, if you look at it, have been fighting with sponsorships and motivated interest in what they're fighting for. If you look at the Gulf War, if you look at Kuwait, if you look at Cambodia, if you look at Korea, if you look at Vietnam, someone was sponsor and some gain they were getting. Now they can't feed 60,000 troops, they've got them in Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia is feeding them. The day USA gets sponsorship, in the night they'll attack Afghanistan. They've got no sponsorship at the moment. Because they've got motivation. And the motivation is to try and destroy Islam. That is why it is, I am saying, obligatory upon us that minimum make dua for those Afghanis. They are offshoot of Shiaism. They are offshoot of Shiaism, and there is a book out, it's called Aga Khan Ismailis. And amongst the Aga Khan Ismailis, there is one group called Bori Ismailis and Bori Shias. Right? And they exchange food in their Imam Baras. They call themselves, they have Imam Baras, and every day, Maghrib time, they go with food and they sell the food to each other, internal sale. And that food goes away to that Imam who's a rascal, takes the money. You understand? So it's a professional commercial activity. They are out of the fold of Islam. During the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who Muslima ibn Qazzab claimed Nabuwat, and at simultaneously at that time one lady, she also claimed that she's a prophetess, and Muslima married her. And when he, after consummating that marriage, he declared that the dowry was two salat. He abrogated two salat. So these people may be the offshoots of that. Anything else? Yes. Khomeini is a Russia. When Khomeini was alive, I called him an international kafir. He's a Bain al-Aqwami kafir. Khomeini is a Russia. Khomeini, what he has written against the Quran, and what he has written against the Sahaba, and what he has written against the Khulafa Rashidin will make your hair stand. And Khomeini is a person who's saying you can make muta for a few minutes. And Khomeini is that person. He is one book, Islamic Government, Al-Hukumat al-Islamiya li Wilayat al-Faqih. He has written in that book that Hazrat, he doesn't say Hazrat, I'm saying Hazrat, he says Abu Huraira should fabricate hadiths. Qazi Shurayh should make judicial pronouncements to suit the political ends of that time. And he said Muawiyah was a tyrant and an oppressor. I'm only quoting one passage of that. Why he targets them three? Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, who is a scribe of the Quran, Katib al-Wahi. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should get Wahi, Hazrat Muawiyah was the one of the 18 or 21 who should write it. So if you target Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, then your Quran is questionable. Because he wrote the Quran. So when your Quran is questionable, that means your deen is gone. When you, the maximum hadiths are narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When you criticize the maximum narrator of hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, your hadith is gone. Maximum jurisprudence, judicial pronouncements have come from Qazi Shurayh, who was the judge of the time, chief judge. So your whole judicial system is gone.
Khomeini is the, one of the worst kafirs that has been born. Yes. He has said about Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said about Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he left Islam and he went back to original munafiqat. And he said about Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a habitual alcoholic. He said when Mahdi will come, first thing he will do is to take out Abu Bakr and Umar from the graves and he will whiplash them. And he says they will take out Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who Allah says is Ummahatul Mu'mineen, from the grave, and he will make her naked and whiplash her. If they believe in their Mahdi, who is a hidden, he's in occultation, he's in one cave called Surah Man La Ra'a. And they say that they got one of their scholars, so-called scholars, he's called Tabatabai. He wrote in one book, Spirit of Islam, that fellow sitting in the cave can see everything what's happening in the world. He understands the man's internal and external activities. And they say that he will come with the original Quran. I've written one book, Discovery, where the Shia Quran is. We have explained that he will come with the Quran and quoting from their sources. He has said that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Khomeini, that Abu Bakr fabricated the Quran. He says, what do we as Muslims think about the planes flying into the World Trade Center? First of all, we must realize something. Loss of a life is a loss of a life. That we as Muslims grieve when innocent lives are lost. But we are also very grieved and we are very sorrowful that 1 million Iraqi babies have been martyred. An average of 4,000 babies die every day in Iraq. And we are very grieved also that innocent Palestinians are dying. Innocent Muslims are dying in Kashmir. In Kosovo, Herzegovina, Macedonia, Albania, they have a field day with Muslim lives. So when they think, and they say 5,000 have died there, innocent ones, then we also say that yeah, millions are dying. That you want us to be crying about that, first also cry with us. You cry with us about our losses first. Because you Americans do not have any blue blood. Blood is blood. So the life that is lost there, and the life that lives, millions of lives that have been lost on our side, we should grieve about that. Innocent lives, losing of innocent lives, that is a different issue. Whether they were innocent, whether they are innocent. And as far as the trade center is concerned, we are very clear at this moment in time that Muslims, I don't think so, have done that. They have done it themselves. And they are blaming us. And they are blaming Osama bin Laden. Anything, Maulana Umarji, I spoke to him lately, he gave a nice example. He said, now when two football teams have one football match and one side loses, then the side that's lost, they say, the other side must have had Osama on them. Bhai Tariqa, anything that you can't find any reason, Osama did it. The Shias are penetrating and infiltrating, and what they're trying to do, which they, I'm from Gauteng, they are doing this, using the same tactics there they are using here. What they do, they say Bilalian Muslims. And they convert the indigenous people into so-called Islam and tell the indigenous people that you see that these Indians, they have got a different version of Islam. And these Indians, they are keeping Islam away from you. And you are Bilalians and you are black. And they are trying to divide us on this ground, black and brown, and penetrate and propagate Shiaism. So you must be on the guard all the time. And also take stock daily of your family. Is my family becoming Shia or Qadiani or what's going on in my family? Before you realize, the person says, yeah, Hazrat Ali was right. Or he says, yes, man, you know, there were some differences. You know? When I come sometime, I will explain to you about how Nabi Akram was buried, what happened at that scene,
how the Khilafat came from Abu Bakr to Umar to Usman to Ali. All those things, you should educate yourself about it. Teach someone to say something. Some water. The opinion, for water. He's asking about Imam Mahdi being around at the moment. Hey, we check the birth register. Is that registered yet? Understand something. Concerning Mahdi. Mahdi will come, inshallah. Because he stated in the hadith, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Mahdi is coming, Mahdi is coming. But we mustn't become complacent. Because we keep saying, no, Mahdi is born. Mahdi was making tawaf and one brother fell down, Mahdi helped him. And I saw some elders saw Mahdi in Medina. And now his time is ripe now, Mahdi is coming and he must be around. And sooner or later, you know, Mahdi, someone saw in his dream. Muslims dream a lot of Wadi, I tell you. It's unreal. How much we dream. So, and what happens in the end, you say, no, I mustn't take up arms, Mahdi is coming. I mustn't go for jihad, Mahdi is coming. I mustn't prepare and become active, Mahdi is coming. Why I must speak against the Shias? Mahdi is coming. Why I must take on the Qadianis and the USA? Mahdi is coming. This is, sometimes I feel it's an ideology that is making us very lethargic. That we say everything Mahdi is going to come and do. Then let's be honest, if Mahdi comes, are we ready to join? At the moment, we eat curry, gijri and sleep away. You understand? If he's coming, alhamdulillah, ahlan wa sahlan. And to say 2003 is coming, that is also not right. That is also not right. And ulama must not say it. Why? Because what happens, you don't come. Then what? See, anything else? Ji. I saw, I'll tell you the story, don't worry. Hazrat Taimi Dari, radiallahu ta'ala, was sahabi of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was a person who liked to travel all the time. Every now and then he leave and he go for expedition on his own and keep traveling and keep traveling. And before I tell you exactly, remind me, I will also tell you about Maududi also in the same story. So he came back and he narrated to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, I went and I got lost. And the storm and the weather condition drove me to a cave. And in the cave I saw one person, he was strapped up and tied down with chains. And he gave the whole description of the person he saw. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, I'm now saying what's written. That is Dajjal, and when if he comes out during my time, I will deal with him. Concerning that incident, which I've now narrated, we asked Allama Khalid Mahmud, that he stated that is an opinion, a weak opinion of a Sahabi, and that narration you cannot prove it very valid or correct. So we should not rely on the authenticity of that narration. And we should not rely upon the validity of that narration. And in fact, we should not quote that narration because we do not know how true it is. Why? That narration gives the impression that Dajjal is born already and was born and living so long. As per hadith, he will come. One-eyed fellow will come, Jewish youth having peppercorn hair and having one eye bulging out will come. We've written one book. It's called How to Recognize Isa alayhi salam, the Promised Messiah. And in that book, we have written about Dajjal and how to recognize him also. He's saying that the time of Mahdi will be the time of great fitna. Fitna means trial, tribulation, difficulties, problems, pressure against Muslims. One thing is certain. There are major signs and minor signs. The first major sign, is the appearance of Mahdi. The appearance of Mahdi. But respected elders, when you look at the minor signs, every minor sign you look at is up. So, on one side we say, listen,
Don't say Mahdi is born and he will save us. We say prepare. And on the other side, we say, listen, then the signs are up. How we can prepare ourselves? The best method to prepare ourselves for the coming of Mahdi and against the fitna of the time is to become good, righteous, practical Muslims and to run away from this Western ideology, concept, dressing, culture, civilization. Leave this West, leave this Kuffar, become good Muslim, help others become good Muslim, dress like Muslim, think like Muslim, behave like Muslim. And one thing for certain, that if your expenses in your house is 10,000 rand a month, bring it to 5,000. And if you got two maids, bring it to one. And if you got one maid, try to do it yourself in that home, the home. Respected elders, the times that are coming are not going to be so rosy. Learn to do things ourselves, learn to become self-sufficient, learn to face life ourselves. Anything else? Yeah? Ji? What is it? Oh, Maududi sir. Mufti Mehmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi of Pakistan. He came here numerous times to our country. Once in West Street Masjid, someone asked him about Maududi Sahib. So he told, he narrated one incident that he and Maududi were in jail because of Khatme Nabuwat. They were saying Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the last Nabi, and they were fighting against the Qadianis. The Pakistan government, as usual, did the wrong thing and put the Ulama Haq in jail. So they were, Mufti Mehmood Sahib was in jail, Maududi was there. So Maududi Sahib wrote in one book, Rasail wal Masail, that muta is temporary marriage, muta is not totally haram. If a man and woman get deserted in a barren island, to fulfill their natural desires, they can enter into a temporary marriage contract. And concerning the incident of Taimi Dari, he used very bad words, and he said that this is Greek mythology, and this is fantasy, and this is funny and strange and astonishing. And the whole world has been discovered, all the caves have been discovered, and they could not find what Taimi Dari saw. So Mufti Sahib told him that to find an island which is barren, to legalize muta, you found that island. But you could not find the cave. But to legalize temporary marriage, you found the island. What he says? When will you give us a bayanot? On innovation. You digest this first. You digest this first, get ready, then inshallah I will talk to you about innovation. Then when I talk to you about innovation, then inshallah you'll be happy. Or sad. The crisis in Israel, yes? Is it any link to Qiyamah? There is one research showing that Mahdi will liberate Baitul Muqaddas. There is that also. Look at the Palestinians, if they become good Muslims and they become like Mujahideen of Afghanistan, Taliban, Allah Ta'ala's help will come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to become good, practical, pious, righteous Muslims, respecting the Quran, respecting the ulama, respecting Islam, respecting the Shia Islam. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.